Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of the JOL Wedding Podcast. So we're back again. Today's going to be a bit more of a fun one. We've got Beth back, so hello again.
Hello, thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, Mum, has your Pepsi gone a bit flat since last time we spoke? I don't know.
from the tea to kind of Pepsi.
Okie dokie. So
today we want to, so again, it's all focused on you, the couple.
Yeah, so today what we want to go through is the top 10 things that couples should consider when planning your wedding. So that's what we're going to do today. We've got 10 little points that we're going to go through and try and be quite short and snappy about it. We won't go into too much detail, as we'll be here forever doing this.
Oh, we will. We will indeed.
So I think we'll start with number one. We'll jump straight into this and
so you've just got engaged.
You've just got engaged.
And you put your picture of that big shiny rock on your Instagram, your socials, and your FYP goes absolutely crazy with adverts for local venues.
That's your For You page if you didn't know that.
I think they do. Your supplier, you name it, anything wedding related will come up on your newsfeed.
Because it's just one of those things, as soon as you start talking about something with people and your phone starts listening to you.
Your algorithm.
I want McDonald's crazy. And now like McDonald's are going to start just putting things on. But yeah.
Your FYP starts going crazy. So you're on that big high at the moment and you instantly go onto things like Pinterest and you start then going, saving loads and loads of pins and you start following loads and loads of different suppliers and venues and everything like that. That's when it starts getting really overwhelming.
Yeah, that is the key word for me, overwhelm. So my first step to couples that just got engaged and are ready to start the planning process, Owen, you made a good point before, sometimes it's quite nice to just enjoy that engagement period, relax a little bit, and then, sit down and tackle it. Overwhelm is definitely the first thing that comes to mind. At wedding fairs, we meet couples all the time and they talk about how intense.
First time they've ever planned a wedding. Well, yeah. They've never been to a wedding, don't have to plan a wedding.
Most recently, we've been doing quite a few. At the time of filming this being in October, it is wedding open day for wedding fair season. People just got engaged over the summer. Or even they got engaged earlier in the year and now they're starting to actually, once they've enjoyed their summer holidays and stuff, now they're looking to start planning. And a lot of them are going, this is my very first one. I've never been to a venue. I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know what to do. So that's what kind of is happening at the minute.
Yes. So my top tip then, step number one,
think
about the vibe. So we're talking about sort of how to go from what you're seeing on all your socials, on your For You page,
what you're saving,
Instagram,
and then how you're turning that into reality.
Yeah.
So my first tip is think about your vibe in the sense of, are you wanting a big Georgian manor, Bridgerton style wedding, or are you wanting a rustic style barn that's converted with tons of fairy lights and candles?
Very intimate, intimate wedding, guest size, things like that.
Are you wanting bigger, smaller? Are you wanting destination? Wedding. Think about the different options, explore all the different options, go through social media and see which ones appeal to you most.
Yeah. If you've got a running theme, so when you're saving things like Georgian houses or big hotels, if that's what you are saving, then you're sort of starting to know that's my vibe.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have a look.
Especially when you start looking around venues as well. They're like across Shropshire from where we are locally, there are so many different types of venues. There's barns everywhere. There's big manor houses everywhere as well. Even if you go a little bit more further afield than just Shropshire into Cheshire and places like that.
We're very lucky.
Staffordshire. We are very, very lucky. Mm. We're very lucky.
Yeah. So with just a little how to fine tune that as well, I suggest when you're saving all these different pictures, find out what actually is in that image that you like. So literally, is it the way that the chairs have been placed, or is it the type of flower that has been used, or is it the colour scheme? And then instead of that overwhelm of, oh my gosh, there's so much choice, you can start to pick out what actual
things
elements
you like.
You really
and
like.
That's just you two I love barns, I love this, I love that. Then you can start narrowing it down to actually where locally can I find this.
Yeah.
Or even if I want to go further afield, I might be able to travel a couple of hours. What have I got at my disposal?
Yeah.
So I think once you start looking at your vibe, what you think actually reflects you guys.
Yeah. Going on to number two.
I think then going on to it is your budget. So that's number two is your budget.
Yeah.
if you want those Bridgerton style vibes, okay, how much is that venue going to cost?
Yeah. So you're looking now at budgets. It's my first thing with budgets, sit down and be financially realistic. Because, again, Pinterest and Instagram, you can see all these gorgeous pictures of flowers and all of that sort. It could cost thousands and thousands of pounds. It could have been a styled shoot. You know, you don't know if it's a real wedding or not.
Yeah, that's something that people need to be aware of.
You
know, photographers and videographers who are putting out all this content or whatever supplier it is, they need to be make sure in the description they're saying that it is a styled shoot. It is not a real wedding.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think sometimes styled shoots can be looked at quite negatively because it's like, you know, you're trying to mislead couples. I personally love styled shoots. I think they're a really good opportunity for people, you know, an artist can practice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Musician practices.
Yep. Why can't, you know, wedding suppliers, why can't a florist practice putting installments together?
It's also looking at what the focus in. A lot of people book plan weddings 2-3 years in advance.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's actually trending now, okay, in 2 years' time, people will be sick of it. So new things are always coming into the wedding industry. Like this year, a lot of either really, really bright colours.
Yeah.
I know a lot of florists are doing things with fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, a lot of fruit on the table.
Yeah. This year, literally, I think...
Different
I've
things.
I've done more black tie tux weddings for grooms a lot more this year than I have...
Greens
sneaking in
for suits,
which is, I think I find quite
I
nice
love it.
As
yeah,
well.
I like it.
Actually, when you look at it, it's absolutely beautiful.
I've seen a black tie velvet green,
nice
tux like jacket. And I think that's cool.
Yeah,
I think that's really
yeah.
Really
so
cool.
Star shoots are good because it means you can explore those different trends. Yeah. But yeah, so when it comes back to actually looking on socials and stuff, is just being aware that is happening.
Yeah.
And so budget-wise, linking it back to that, it's making sure that what you're seeing you can say is financially realistic for you as well.
I think, and also, actually, some people don't want a big wedding. They would quite happily have a registry office and then they want a big party after.
Yeah.
They don't want that big hype of an all day. They don't want that expense. They want to have a wedding at £3,000 and then put that whatever onto a deposit or knock it off their mortgage or go on a nice big holiday.
Yeah.
They don't want to spend money.
It doesn't have to be a big wedding.
This is why, what is your vibe? Please do not go and go, actually, I think... to keep up with all my friends, I need a wedding that's going to cost me 25,000-30,000.
Yeah.
Because you don't need that.
But, so my main point about with your budget, my main tip is put more of your budget into what you're going to take out of your wedding than what you're going to put into it.
Definitely.
So things like, obviously, again, try not to be biased, but things like your photography and videography, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're paying for, you know, 600 quid for someone who hasn't got a lot of experience, that's the kind of thing you have to expect, and being realistic for what you're paying for. I think that's the whole thing about budget.
Yeah.
Be realistic in what you're paying for. That's where you're going to get into return. So things like your photo, your video, what else are you going to take away from your wedding? Obviously, you got your rings.
Food and drink.
Food and drink
element.
A little bit. Yeah,
food
and drink's a big part
of that.
I think
obviously, we are in wedding fair season, when open day season. This is the good. So you've got your vibe. You know what you're looking at. So you're looking at, let me say we're going to go to Barnes. I'm going to go around some different barn venues and we've got open day there and they've got some suppliers there. Talk to the suppliers. Go, actually... oh, photography, how much are you?
Yeah.
So get their prices. So you may not be, oh, I don't really like him or I didn't like their style, but you know roughly what things are starting to cost.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can go, actually, right, okay, so let's do a wedding on £20,000. I've got a £20,000 budget. Okay. How much is this venue? How much is that venue? What do I get for that? And again, look at what you actually get for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some venues, they go, oh, actually, we're £5,000. And before you know it, you've spent near £10,000.
Yeah,
pounds
hidden fees.
They've got hidden fees. Yeah. They've got a minimum spend on rooms. You've got to have their table linen and you've got to have... certain things like a DJ's included or anything like that.
Yeah.
Think about what's actually included and what you're actually getting for your money.
Yeah, definitely.
Budget that. Go around and then come back together and go, actually, we've got this money. Look at what we can. Owen's made a really, really good point of put your money wisely into mm-hmm. things that, like you say, you are going to get out of it. Do I really need a sparkly dance floor? No, because actually, does that add anything into my wedding?
Yeah.
Not really. Does people really care about dancing on sparkly dance floors? No, not really. They'll just dance wherever. Mm. But that £500 you can put towards that actually will get you a little bit more of a better quality in your photographers or your videographers, or even more money into flowers or yeah. anything like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then, obviously, leading from...
Number three
is your DIY weddings or your planned...
DIY versus planned.
Yeah. Yes. So basically, when couples are looking into venues, they'll go, actually, I've got a dry hire here. Mm-hmm. I'm really creative. I love to make things. I can design. I can decorate this myself.
And people think it's cheaper, whether it is cheaper yeah. to do it themselves than it yeah. is to have someone, you know, be at a venue and have it planned in a way like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not always the case at all. I think it can sometimes end up being more hassle and more work to do DIY weddings.
Way more stressful.
Yeah. I think. Then it depends on the type of person. Yeah. Like me being type A organizer, I think I'd love it. But also I think actually for my wedding day, I want to just hand it over to someone yeah. to deal yeah. with it. So yeah. it depends yeah. on what type of person you are.
And also, do I want to be tidying up my venue the day after? That, when I'm really yeah. hungover. I want to literally enjoy the first day of my married life together.
And go on my honeymoon.
Or maybe go on a honeymoon or whatever. But I don't want to be cleaning the toilets of my dry hire venue. And
absolutely. Because you can get married in a lot of Airbnbs now. So it's quite nice, the idea of, you know, you all going to somewhere for the weekend, getting married there, having a party. But it does, you know, you've got to think about the cleanup, you know, yeah. any damage deposits, anything like that. Yeah. But linking into this with the style of venue in this sense, so you've sorted your vibe, you've sorted your sort of budget, how much you want to spend. Then it's thinking about going around looking at venues. Consider marquee weddings. You know, mm-hmm. again, completely different ball game. But if you've got the land, and again, they're not necessarily cheaper. I think people often think a marquee wedding is cheaper, but
especially farmers or. Yeah,
but logistically they are a nightmare, and I'd always recommend having an on-the-day coordinator there, because there's no one, like with a venue, you know, and it's all sorted, they deal with your suppliers
yeah.
arriving.
Yeah, and again, that's looking about what kind of wedding you want. Are you wanting a marquee where you have to get married at a church beforehand, yeah. so then you need to start going to the church.
And then obviously, again, you've got to put your budget, cut your costs into your budget of your church. Even things like when we got married, we didn't realise we had to pay for bell ringers.
Yeah.
And my videographer, I had to pay for a license, because it's music from the church. You had to pay a music license so then they can record your hymns. Little things like that. So have a contingency in your budget.
Yes. Yeah.
So have a, I don't know, what it, say if you got, I don't know, £20,000 budget, maybe have £1,000 just as a bit of a...
just in case.
Just in a, yeah. yeah. Same as when you, I don't know, renovating a house and things like that. Have a contingency that if things... Actually, I just want to upgrade that little bit.
Yeah.
I've got that little bit more money there that you've got, or things go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we're going into number four. So next tip, we're rattling through these, which is actually quite nice to see. But it's nice that we're linking everything back to each other.
Yeah. Traditions or your modern trends. Now, loads of things have come out of weddings now. So bouquet toss, gone. I don't think of the last
one. I haven't seen one in ages.
Years.
Yeah.
Years.
I think I did one this year, but then no one wanted to get involved.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? And I think all the single ladies don't want to have to declare that they're single ladies and do that.
Also, it's horrible for the boyfriends. Yeah. The girls going, I'm going to get it right, I'm going to get it right. You watch. I'm going to get this. And they're sort of warming up and everything like that. And the boyfriend's going, oh, shit. Please don't get it. Please don't get it. Because that's more...
It's that video online that you see where she gets it and then the videographer turns and he's running in the other direction.
He's like,
see you later. But things like that.
But also that lends itself into your vibe.
Yeah.
So if your vibe is very traditional, okay, you want that traditional maybe church or civil wedding, and you want that or that modern take
twist
on,
to it.
Yes, yeah. Things like now the champagne towers.
Yeah, or we were talking about different style cakes before.
Yes,
about,
we were. So we did a Wend Fair and yesterday, and the girl who does obviously the amazing cakes. She's got like a great big oblong. Looks like if you can imagine a brick, and mm-hmm. it's decorated absolutely beautiful. And that actually traditionally, I'd probably say 1930s, 1940s. Mm. And it's coming back round. So you've got ones where you got the cakes are with royal icing,
yeah,
rather than just the buttercream naked cakes. Yeah. They're more highly decorative, which used to be early 1900s and now coming back into vogue.
It's like with vintage dresses as well at the moment. I see a lot on TikTok Lace. Particularly. A lot of girls are going to vintage stores to find, or even wearing, which is really lovely, like their mum's or their grandma's dresses and having them altered. For the day. So again, trends come back round, and I think it's just
they come and go. That's the main thing about trends. That's
but what
they,
you
that's
don't
why
want
trends.
Is to plan your wedding on
based on a trend.
Based on a trend.
No, don't do that.
Make it different. Make it you. Like I think we were saying before, I've had quite when it comes down to the speeches. Anyone's doing a speech nowadays. Yeah. Even the bride's getting up and doing a speech, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, you know, love a bride's speech.
Taking a bit of pressure off the groom. But it's always quite nice. They always end it saying, well, you didn't expect me to have my own wedding and me not to say a single word and let him say everything. But yeah, so there are quite a few trends that keep coming, keep going. They come back round. So even when you're looking at, you know, for your photos or something, that might look really nice now, but in about 10 years' time, is it going to look a little bit dated?
Yeah,
I don't know. Just have a little think about it. But we'll kind of move on to next one. Number five. What was number five?
So number five, we're looking at how to find the right suppliers. So once you've thought about your vibe, you've thought about your venue, you've talked about money, your aesthetic, whether you're going for more modern or traditional weddings, how do you find the right suppliers? And again, we come back to that overwhelm thing. It's like there's so much choice, which isn't a bad thing. You know, it means you've got plenty of options, and it means you have the time, give yourself the time and, you know, the option to find the right supplier for you. I'd say my number one tip for finding the right supplier is make sure you like them.
Oh, definitely.
Make sure you trust them. That's essentially all it is.
And that's something I think we iterate quite a bit on this podcast. It's rinse and repeat. We keep saying
it's like bakers taste the cake. If they are the right, you've got the right taste for you and you like them and you can trust them to make what you envision of your wedding cake, you can talk about book them, but then talk about obviously what style of wedding cake you want after. Just book the baker, because the product tastes good.
A lot of inquiries that we get are online. They're online. Yeah. They come to, and people are coming through, and then they will just book you. Some people do book you without even speaking to you. So please try and talk to your suppliers. Get to know them a little bit first. Jump on a Zoom call,
always have a call with them.
Because, unfortunately, I've had a few times where they haven't had a Zoom call or any really proper conversation, and that person ends up being a scammer.
You've gone online. You've gone, yes, that's perfect. The style of photography, this again relates to what I do. Photography suits me. Okay. That's
just
fine.
A little bit too true to be true. Yeah. Is it too
good to be true?
Too good to be true.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's £1,000. Oh my God, that's a bargain. And you then go, oh, I've got to get him. So you book him because they're doing this special offer and it's only last couple of weeks or something like that, only because they put it on social media. They've boosted the hell out of it to get people to book it, and then
they're just not right for you.
They've just gone. They've just disappeared.
Yeah. I think what I say, like, logistical tip for planning with suppliers is, let's say with cake artists, find maybe 6 to 8 that you like the look of. Mm-hmm. And then have consultations with at least 3 of those. I wouldn't just have one consultation and go ahead and book. Give yourself the option. Same with venues. Same with all suppliers. Yeah. You know, have at least 3 consultations, because you're giving yourself that option then, and you know who who you're vibing with the most.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
especially with videography and photography, you're with the couple for such a long time on the day. You've got to get on.
You need to get on with us. We need to get on with you. You need to like us. And what do we always say?
We always leave as your friends rather than as photographers.
Yeah. See? And the other thing that we usually say, which I was hoping you were going to say, is if you don't like your photographer,
you're going to hate your photos. Because behind every photo, there is a memory.
Yeah.
And if you are if you got a picture of yourself with your husband or your wife,
and your photographer's been a miserable shit all day,
and they're forcing you to do something that is just not you. You're going to go, oh, I hate that. Do you remember when he got us to do that? Do you remember she got us to do that? Oh, I hate that. Oh, no one's ever going to see those photos. Because, like I say, every photo, there's a link to a memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Number six, we're getting moving on quite quickly. Yeah. Should I just put like massive numbers? Number six.
Sustainability. You mentioned and touched on brides re-going and having vintage dresses. Having mums and grandmas dresses.
Yeah.
Even secondhand dresses.
Yeah, there's so many different things. So with sustainability, so we're going now into more... you're sort of non-negotiables in the sense when you're sat down planning, it's thinking about what part of the wedding day is really important to you and your partner. So the sustainability side is really big in the industry at the moment in the sense of it's a lot of money you're putting into something that only lasts for a day. So it's like, how are you making the most of that money?
Yeah.
So, vintage dresses, it's something that's really emotional. Wearing a mum's dress could be a really nice touch that you could almost leave as a surprise for her.
Yeah.
There's different things like having English flowers at your wedding. So you were saying before about having flowers from your own garden used.
Yeah, we had one wedding a year ago again now, and she went to a garden centre and had loads of beautiful flowers and plants that was arranged up the aisle, and then after they went into her garden.
Yeah, potted plants. It's a brilliant idea because...
Oh my God, it's amazing. It looked stunning.
Yeah, I love big floral installments. I never ever deter anyone away from them because they do look incredible. But I do think having some part of your floral display that you can then reuse, having them dried and put in a frame as well as your bouquet is a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different things you can be doing. We were talking before as well about wedding websites.
Yep.
So it's a sustainable way of, saving paper, literally.
Yeah.
Sorry to all the stationary people out there. Yeah. All invitations.
I mean, again, I don't deter away from it because I love an invitation suite. I love them.
I love them for the lay flats.
Flat lays. I love
them.
It's
also a memory to keep. I mean, like, when you come away from a wedding, if you've had a church and you always keep the order of service and things like that, they're always really nice.
A good way around it is you could give out physical invitations to sort of
people that matter.
Yeah, people that matter the closest. And then for your majority of your guests, you use your wedding website. So you get the best of both worlds.
And leading on from a wedding website, having a wedding email as well. Yes. I think that's something that's really good. That will link into another tip that we're going to speak about probably near the end of this. But having that so all your emails can come into one place, all in one bit. So it's pretty easy for you to find.
We all know what it's like. As soon as you subscribe to something because it gives you 15% off, and then before you know it, you've got 30 emails from the same, company, and you just get bogged down.
Spam.
And you cannot can't see the wood for the trees. So, oh my God, that's, a new thing from our venue about menu tasting or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you miss it because you've got so many things. But if you had a, name and names wedding... 2027@gmail.com and having that works absolutely amazing that you both can sort of have access to that email address as well, so it just makes life easier.
It really does.
But also sustainability, think about things like I love things like the on-day artists just at the moment, it's a huge thing in the wedding industry.
Live illustration artists
come in and they'll paint the guests and things like that. It's beautiful. It's something's personal to that couple, to your guests, that they will take away. Rather than having a little box, it probably cost you 50p to a quid with made of card, and then
this is the wedding favours on the table.
Sweets and things like that put in it. There's wrapped in foil that literally just get wasted.
We had a lovely same-sex male couple this year who for their, is it the bit where they all go and sit down? a little sign for that, and it was just, I think it was like all this string going across, and pegged to it was a photo of them, but there was a live illustration of each one.
Oh, nice.
Of each one.
Yeah.
It stopped, and remember that one?
Yeah. So you don't have to have it done them there. You can send photos from everyone's social media, or you've got photos of them, send it to them, they will paint it, and then that was the first time I saw that. That was really good. Absolutely beautiful.
Which that leads us perfectly on to number 7, which is actually guest experience.
Yes.
Something that I think that
a lot of couples struggle with, because they go, actually, I've got a 2-hour window for my drinks reception. I don't want my guests being bored
and sat there
and moaning and going, oh, I'm hungry, or anything like that. They want something to give their guests that little bit of experience.
So, Beth, what can they do to enhance their guest experience?
So, you've got so many options. We can sit here for hours. The best ones I see is where you have physical games. So, we've spoken already about lawn games and like a clay pigeon shooting. Or it's even as simple as having little crosswords that they can answer and fill in during drinks reception. And the guest experience is, you know, it's not just drinks reception. Drinks reception. It's the whole day. So I often say what the vibe that you're wanting, you know, we keep saying about whether it's barn or a house or a marquee. It's not necessarily about the look. It's about the feel. So it's the vibe that you will give off to your guests will get reciprocated. So it's, you know, the energy that you want to give out. So you can do that through the music, you can do that through the food, you can do that through the amount of alcohol or not that's
given. I'd say the top two things that people remember most about your wedding is the music.
Yeah.
And the food.
And the food. Yeah, 100%. 100%, I agree.
So make sure you are putting a decent amount of money into your caterers, and they, you know, they know what they're doing. Go for a few tastings. Make sure you definitely know this is what you want. Obviously, you need to be able to cater for all guests, whether if they've got allergies and stuff like that.
Yeah, every venue is brilliant. And then catering companies are fantastic at that anyway.
Live music as well. Live music, again, throughout the drinks reception, throughout the evening, I think that's always really, really good. Obviously, maybe you might have a DJ or something like that, something a little bit different.
We had one. They love all their board games. So on every table, they had different board games.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, you can pick them up for a couple of quid at
charity shops,
car boots, anything like that. I've got a cupboard full of board games, and it just gets
gets them going.
People talking, we're like that on Christmas evening. Yeah. You know, we don't sit and watch telly. We literally play board games. And
I worked
like
a wedding the other day, and it was marquee wedding, and they had on the back of the chairs coloured tags for all the guests. And during the celebrant-led ceremony, they'd explain what this meant, and they basically said the kegs that we've ordered in from the bar, they don't get used up. We have to pay a fee for them to not get used. So drink up, basically. Mm-hmm. So each colour represented a different team. They had a chalkboard by the bar, and every time someone drank a pint, they'd tick it off, and then that team at the end of the night won a prize. So again, it was a way for them to get everyone drinking. It just kept the vibe high. Yeah.
See, I love the ones that you know, the wooden pegs.
Oh, I love it.
They put it on in a basket, and you pick a peg, and you have to go and peg it onto people without them realising.
I see that on TikTok. Yes. That's really funny.
Brilliant. I think little things like that, absolutely amazing.
The bride's got about 20 amazing pegs on her veil. Yeah. She can't feel it.
Absolutely. Things like that. How much are wooden pegs? I don't know, a couple of quid.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really cheap. But it gets people involved. Yeah. You know, you could do... We have things like crosswords, or a lot of people... Going back to sustainability, a lot of people are having the newspapers.
Oh, I love a newspaper.
Sustainability, not brilliant.
No.
But actually for guest experiences, it's brilliant, because they'll have,
a crossword of,
you know, where are we going on honeymoon? And when is the groom's birthday or...
Yeah, you say that though. I feel like a lot of those guests, I don't see many left over.
I don't know. They all get taken.
Yeah. So I think they are a nice. It's another keepsake. Maybe again for those guests that didn't get an invitation suite.
Yeah,
it's something that they take home.
Yeah,
as a keepsake from the wedding.
Something they regret taking back with them, which leads us into number 8, which is actually wedding regrets.
Yes, wedding regrets.
So what do people regret
after?
After their wedding, once it's all done, cake's been cut, Yeah. Everyone's been got pissed and things like that.
Well, you see a lot of videos online about different types of regrets. And the one for me that keeps coming up is video. And it is not having a videographer. Why? I get it with budget. I get if you can't allocate it.
Yeah.
But for me, why wouldn't you? Why would you not? And mm-hmm. Owen, your video the other day was such a good way of summing up
my wedding video when I was years old.
20, you were 20. You were 19.
Yeah.
No, you were 19.
I was 19 when I got married.
Crikey.
I know.
You're still with him.
I'm still with him. It's something there you go.
I'm the same age now as my dad was when he got married to my mum.
That's crazy.
I know, it's.
And I'm nowhere near getting married.
It's so nice that you get to watch my wedding video and you see your grandparents and great grandparents. Yeah. That are no longer with us, and you can hear and speak to them and everything like that.
Honestly, I'm like a broken record when I start talking about this. I start talking about this all the time. Every wedding fair I go to, I speak about this. I've actually now made, like you just mentioned there, I have made a video on why I do this, what happened, what got me into it. So that is on my social media if you want to go have a look at that.
But also, I think a lot of people regret the timings of in their wedding.
I would say
not allocating.
Just before we go on to the timings there, it links back again to budget with not having a videographer, and again the main thing I say is put more money into what you're taking out of it, photo, video, than what you're getting than what you're putting into it. Going obviously onto timings there.
People turn around and go, we've had it both ways. So we've had one wedding this year, and their whole aim, which is perfect, is they want to be with their guests.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't, we were at one beautiful venue. We said, well, do you want to go up to the gardens? No, don't want to do that. I literally want to be with my guests. And we said, well, go for a walk just around this part of the garden. Yeah, not a problem. Did a bit of a walk, just got them interacting themselves, beautiful natural photos, back in with their guests. And then evening,
we went sunset, gorgeous sunset.
Different part of the venue, again, just went for a walk. They appreciated their sunset and were back into the venue. So they didn't have a huge amount of photos or moments out with us, which is what they wanted. And now they've turned around and gone, yeah, I wish we did a few more, actually. I miss that.
Yeah.
I get that. Or I should have trusted you that little bit, because we've said, like, we've read to one couple, look, there's a cornfield right there, beautiful views. Do you fancy? Nah.
We're at the same venue again the week after, they went, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, my God,
and
yeah,
some great
whatever.
Photos.
Yeah, cracking photos.
Mm.
So I will say the more you put in, the more you get out. So. Yeah. The more you invest in your day, the more things you have coming out. So things like your photos, your footage and things like that as well.
Yeah. Another wedding day regret I see a lot is literally not drinking and eating enough. So
yes, oh my God, yes. In the morning.
Yeah, hydrate, stay hydrated. Because I'm so susceptible to headaches. So if anyone out there is like me and you don't drink a glass of water in the morning, then you are screwed.
It's not often I say this, but I have had one wedding where I've had a groom collapse during mid-vows because he was dehydrated.
No.
Bless him, but you need to. It's the hottest day ever, and it was like a conservatory where we got married, so it was just so hot. So you need to
eat
and hydrate. I've even told brides the day before, I'm giving the message, and I'm telling them, because I know it's going to be hot, please stay hydrated.
Yeah,
please stay
so
hydrated.
Important.
And I get there the next day and they go, oh, I just thought you thought my skin wasn't very good. I was like, no, I'm saying this to make sure that you're okay for the day ahead.
We know
it's
long
going to be
that day
a long day
for them, so it's definitely important.
Yeah.
Another quick regret is them not spending enough time together, as in the couple.
Is it absolutely. The couple?
Yeah, because it can go by so quickly and you get pulled left, right, centre from different guests, different suppliers.
And that's something to think about maybe when you're having your wedding breakfast, where I'm seeing a lot of sweetheart tables. Sweetheart tables are another thing. Because other than that, realistically, I know the only time they get to really have time together is when they just come out of the ceremony, they're signing the register.
Yeah.
They get pulled aside just before they have the confetti. They get a bit of time together there. And then really,
obviously you ain't talking guests, having your photos.
When they come out for their portraits, with a couple of portraits, I know we're there, but that's really the only time they get to spend together.
Yeah, just
together.
the two of them. Yeah,
sweetheart tables are a really, really good.
And again, it is a new
have.
Modern twist on your top tables.
Your top tables, definitely.
It's something different. I think as well, I like. I've seen a couple of times the couple have gone and had their canapés separately, just together.
Yeah.
Again, it's just another 5 minutes together. In the day, so it's just trying to find little moments of the day.
We like it when what we tend to do is as the couple come out after getting married, they go off for 5 minutes just themselves. It gives us as photographers and videographers time to set up like things like the confetti shots and things like. But it gives them that few moments. Like quite a few venues that we go to actually just usher them away somewhere else.
Yeah.
Whilst we're sorting that out, and then it gives them time to have a quick drink. Have a catch up and back out for confetti. I'm not sure any others
on the top of my head. I'm not sure if you've got any more
down there. Well, I was going to say, so my last one would be getting influenced too much by family politics, which links us quite
number nine. What is number nine?
Number nine is so guest list problems is what we...
Wedding politics.
Yes. So it's I find it is one of the biggest influences in how people have their wedding.
Yeah.
What their mum and dad think, what their grandparents think. It's, you are so influenced by those around you. And then on top of that, now you've got the overwhelm of social media.
Yeah.
Now, we're not saying being heavily influenced by your family or by social media is a bad thing.
No.
It can be a very positive thing.
Absolutely.
But you just need to be mindful of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to sum it up, is just be mindful, because... it is, and again, it is your wedding, do it your way.
Yeah.
It can be tricky. And I think as a planner, I obviously give tips and advice and I help plan your wedding. But when it comes to the family politics, there's not very much I personally can do. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. But I will always say to my couple, trust your gut. Do what makes you feel happy. You know, don't make any decisions because someone else is making you go for that choice.
Yeah.
It's completely down to you at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Would you buy a McDonald's? Would you buy a McDonald's that costs, what, eight quid now?
It used to be a fiver.
Because if you weren't buying them a McDonald's, why are you spending 75 quid for them to have a three-course meal?
So
why
inviting
would you do
people
that?
To your wedding, like when you're deciding on who you should be inviting or not, it's a perfect way to sum it up. Because, and as I saw another thing, is if you wouldn't buy them a pint in the pub, why would you invite them to your evening do?
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good way of looking at it, actually.
And also, I always think that a lot of venues, you are governed by certain numbers.
Absolutely,
so you've
got
to have 60 for the day.
Yeah, so going, that's a good point, going back to up to before what you're looking at venues, so you sorted your vibe and your budget, have a draft guest list, because then you can cut out the venues that aren't going to work for you.
Yeah.
You need to know.
Yeah, and also think about I was more on the line of say if you've got 60 minimum for the day, but actually 40 family that you think, actually I've got on my list, 40 must have people. So I'm missing 20 people out there. I would always invite the people, 20 of the people that you want for the evening.
Yeah.
To come for the day and don't have any extra evening guests. Yeah. We're finding a lot more not having extra evening guests.
Yeah, people are having big numbers, so everyone is there all day.
Yeah,
which is understandable.
Which
is fine.
You're planning if you've got to travel.
It just depends. Yeah, where how far you're traveling, and again, if that fits in your budget.
Yes.
So back to number two.
Yeah,
we are linking all over the shops.
But
right
also,
now.
What I am finding as well is evening guests. It's the last couple of years, maybe 3 years, that a lot of the evening guests aren't coming.
Mm.
Since COVID.
So they'll invite people.
Yeah, that's very
and
true.
They're just literally not turning up.
Yeah. Often with the catering company, we'll have it down for, 150 in the evening. We look around the room and we go, I don't think there's 90 here.
Yeah. So you paid that much money.
Yeah, for all those people.
So this is
that,
why...
That hog roast is going to waste.
Yeah.
Everyone can have three portions.
Again, thinking about your evening, your days and then your evenings, and then being realistically, if you are, I'll say, you live in one area and you're getting married out the area, are people going to travel 20, 30 minutes, maybe more?
Yeah, for a few hours.
For your few hours?
Yeah.
And for this, it's a cost to them as well, because obviously it's someone's not going to drink because they've got to be, obviously, the taxis or they're going to be driving. A lot of people are putting on coaches as well. So yeah. Again, you know, shipping people from one area to another.
I had that the other week, the last wedding I filmed, actually. They had a double-decker bus, which shuttled them from the venue to the church. Which
nice.
Is at least yeah. about 10 minutes away. But on the way back, that did make us a little bit late for yeah. everything. So yeah. they had to factor in the time for shuttle buses and stuff like that.
Yeah, and just invite people that matter. Yeah. You know, when we got married, we had to invite a lot of James's family that actually, on our wedding day, I was going, who's that? He was like, I ain't got a clue. And his dad's going, oh, it's Auntie so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so from somewhere. And we had a receiving line there. So again, that's a tradition that's long gone.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, traditions. Which actually to me, we probably have it maybe once or twice a year. Yeah. But actually, yeah, not a good thing for photos and videos. But it's nice that it's a way you get to see all your guests.
Yeah, if you missed anyone, you get round
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I've lost my train of thought then.
Okay, well,
while you think about that,
let's jump on to the last, number 10. This doesn't mean that it's the most important. We've just done this in no particular order. Number 10 is planning management.
Yeah, so we've talked about all of these different steps. You've talked about your budget, your non-negotiables, where you should put your money, where you should save your money. But it's like, how do you physically actually make these decisions?
Yeah.
And you came up with a great name for it, Wedding Wednesday.
Yeah, I just thought, yeah.
I love it.
Pre-recording this, we were just speaking about it, where you set aside a certain time of the week where you just sit down, look through your emails.
Both together.
Crack open a glass of wine or
yeah.
have a beer together, whatever it is you're fancying doing. Go out if you really want to. Go out for a nice
meal.
Make it a date night.
We're going to go to the pub every other Tuesday or whatever. And
take your phone, take your iPad with you. Use the Wi-Fi.
Any book, if you like me. I like loads of books. With
yeah.
Again, yeah. having your management, this is where we do think a wedding website and having your own wedding email. So mm-hmm. everything goes to the same in the one place.
Yeah.
All your inquiries that you've sent out, all your... your quotes you get come back to you are all in the same place, so you can have a look through any new emails, they're already there. And every Wednesday or something, you can just, well, any day of the week, whatever you pick. I'll just pick Wedding Wednesday because it sounded quite fun.
But you go together yeah. and you go through and go, right, okay, it's this month, what's happening this month? What do yeah. I need to? Oh, I need to send a check to so and so. I need to bank transfer that check. Where am I? Where am I now? Yeah. For God's sake. I need to send money to so and so. Or we need to, you booked into your suits. It's at this time because, yeah. I don't know, Uncle Fred's asking time he can make yeah. it. And know what's either happening in the next month or any, you got any appointments yeah. to see anybody or any taste of things or yeah. Any makeup. Trials.
It's all about just dedicating a bit of time to do it together.
A little and often, because then it doesn't get often. So overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it is really hard that if one of the couple tends to lead the planning more than another, that it gets to a point that they're going, actually, I'm doing it all by myself, you're not doing anything.
You kind of see it's a little bit more stereotypically with a stereotypical couple. Where it is a bride and a groom, it is usually the bride who does majority of it. It is a bit stereotypical in terms of that. When you're speaking to people, when I'm emailing people, I am usually emailing the bride. I don't know why it seems to be that way.
It just is.
That's just see how it is.
Or just one member of the couple. Which then could be isolating for them. And then to go, actually, well, I'm making all the decisions. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to say is through this is just... wedding planning should be enjoyable, stressful.
No.
And doing it together, it means you're both enjoying the planning process together.
And building that bond.
Building up. You're getting a little bit closer to the fact that when it gets to your wedding day, you went, we did this.
Yeah, yes. We did this together.
Yeah, it's the best day. It's the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason why we do this.
That's what I always say to my couples. Plug myself here. So when you book me, I'm taking that stress away.
Yeah.
So they get to enjoy the whole planning process. And you know, doing it yourselves, it's just focusing on the enjoyment of it. And it's I think get the big scary bits out the way first. Mm-hmm. So like the finances and, you know, the big decisions, get them dealt with as soon as you can. So by the time you're getting sat down and really delving into the planning, you're not going to come up to many arguments because you've already dealt with them.
Yeah, it's just giving yourself that time. So obviously some people are try and do weddings in 6 months because that's what they want to do, or they're planning it within 2 years.
We've got now serious inquiries with dates booked in 2028.
Yeah, so yeah, people are getting
they're using that extra time to actually go, actually, this is the vibe of my wedding. This is what I want. This is what we're looking at. How do I achieve that? Actually, I'm going to get married
year. How long do we need to save for that?
And yeah, it gives us the extra time to save. Some people go, actually, I've remortgaged my house. I'm going to set it on that and then
get out of the way.
The worst thing is I don't want to be waiting 3 years. I want to be done in 6 months.
Yeah.
That is our top 10 tips on people, what we think any couple should consider whilst planning their wedding. Was there anything you two want to add on to that?
I mean, I think it's such a big task, and I think it can seem really intense. Well,
it's
and
the overwhelming. Yeah. Overwhelming.
And so much choice, which is where it can seem scary. So I just think when you're going to tackle it's just take it one step at a time.
Mm.
Have a to-do list. Go and buy yourself a brand new notebook and some nice new pens and create yourself a to-do list and just one at a time.
Yeah.
That's together.
Together.
But I think well, we usually at the end of the podcast we always usually do a top tip, but we've given you 10, so lucky you guys.
Don't ask me another one.
if anyone is listening to this or watching us, heaven forbid, my hair's a mess, but if anyone's listening to this and go, actually, I've got some top tips, if you've recently been married or you are planning a wedding and going, actually, can you give me some top tips for this? You know, just get in contact. Absolutely. Just drop us a message.
We all love talking about weddings, if you can't tell, so get in touch.
Yeah, but Beth, thank you for so much for coming on again.
I'm going to be here every week now. You can't get rid of me.
We're not going to complain. But yeah, so if you guys have enjoyed this, please again subscribe to the YouTube. Check us out on Spotify. Give us 5 stars over there. Any recommendation is absolutely fantastic. But again, Beth's your website and everything's going to be linked in below. That's going to be very easy for me to do. But again, thank you very much, guys, for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.